Care, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As President Trump arrives back in the United States a few hours ago, North Korea's state-run news agency is suggesting that he did agree to lift sanctions during his historic meeting in Singapore with Kim Jong-un. Now, what Trump actually said to reporters after the meeting was the sanctions would remain in place until the U.S. was certain that nuclear weapons are no longer a factor. Meanwhile, the White House has now made public a video that President Trump played for the North Korean leader during the summit called Story of Opportunity for North Korea. It showed potential outcomes based on how the North Korean leader made his decisions from here.
There can only be two results. One of moving back. Or one of moving forward.
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. And for the weather this week, we've got today a high of 80, but scattered thunderstorms and showers. Tomorrow, more of the same, lower at a degrees of 62. Sunny on Thursday. Tonight is thunderstorms. Tomorrow is sunny, high of 83. And sunny on Friday, sunny on Saturday, sunny on Sunday. So we got a lot of sun in the future. See you in a minute.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. It's a show about volunteering both locally and globally and encouraging people to listen to all the opportunities available out there for people to get engaged in with a cause they care about, because I truly believe that happiness is the key to, volunteering is the key to happiness, and I want to encourage more people to do it. And today we have two very special guests. They're cousins, and they have both recently done service trips with an international organization called Amazaji. And welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
All right, Nicole, we're going to start with you. Go ahead and state your name and where you go to school and how you learned about Amazaji and why you decided to do your service trip.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my name is Nicole. I currently go to the University of Pittsburgh, and I found out about Amazaji in my program through an organization that I joined called Phi Beta Lambda, and they made a 10-year commitment to Amazaji and the program that we went with. So through my organization, they gave us presentations and other things like that to show us what kind of commitment that our organization has to Amazaji and the program that we went with in Bolivia.
Excellent. And Marlo, same questions.
So my name is Marlo. I'm an honors student at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia. And I went to Belfast in Northern Ireland for 3 weeks on a service learning / cultural immersion trip. And I really wanted to go because Ireland was always a place that I wanted to visit, and the service just seemed like an extra added bonus to the trip.
Excellent. And I want to give a shout out to people. If anybody wants to watch us on Facebook, we're streaming live, and the Facebook page is Happy to Help, or at Happy Hunterdon, if you want to see the lovely faces of these girls and learn more about what we're doing. So tune in on Facebook, and this broadcast will be available as a podcast after the show if you have to run to work or are busy. All right, now let's talk about the country you went to and the program that you did and who you helped, and let's start with Nicole and Bolivia.
Okay, so I went to a little place called Cochabamba, Bolivia. It is in the middle of the Andes in this little flat plain surrounded by mountains. It was incredibly gorgeous. The program I went with, as I said, was a 10-year commitment with my school, Pitt Business, because I'm in the business school, and I took a semester-long class taught by the dean of the business school and the head of our study abroad program at Pitt, and we worked also with another group that was going to Trinidad and Tobago, and they were working on a different project. So I went with 11 other students and two people that came along with us, like as chaperones and also people to continue keep us on track. And we worked with an organization called can't remember the name, but it was a special needs school in Bolivia, and there we helped the kids. And since the program, the government cut all the funding, basically 90% of the funding for this school in Bolivia, and almost all other schools like it closed down. So this one is really trying and struggling to stay afloat. So this family called the Walks somewhere in Utah decided to take them under as their project of charity, since they inherited a lot of money, and they couldn't continue with the project, so they gave it to Amazaji and continued gifting them money to help the school in Bolivia. So the school is called Scioli. I remember.
Okay, that's okay.
And so we went there and worked on their business strategies to see where they're going in the future and what they want to do with the program. Also find ways for funding, trying to get them out of debt and other things like that. But also helping the kids, seeing the impact that they have and what we have with Amazaji. So our main client was Amazaji, and we worked with them directly since their headquarters is in Pittsburgh, where we were. So I met with multiple people from Amazaji. We went to their building. And then we also the beneficiary was Scioli in Cochabamba, Bolivia. So we went there for a week over our spring break, which is March 3rd to the 12th. And we got to visit all the kids. And we also met some people, Giancarlo, which was the contact point from Amazaji through Bolivia, and all the foundation heads at Scioli, the school. And we got to meet all the kids and see how the school functions, what they used to do back when they had a lot of funding, and then how they're operating now and how it's changed and where they want to go in the future. So we worked together as a project. They sell these cards to try and create funding. They're all hand-painted, all by the students. They're beautiful cards. They're so beautiful and amazing. And you can just see the story in the cards. So our goal was to try and sell more of them to create more funding so that Amazaji can send more money to Scioli every year.
Amazing. That was a great overview. And we should enlighten the folks that Amazaji is a Portuguese word meaning friendship. And it was started by a gentleman named Daniel Weiss. And he loved Brazil, fell in love with some work he did in Brazil, and started this international organization. And if you want to look it up, the website, it's spelled A-M-I-Z as in zebra, A-D as in dog, E.org. So if you want, because it's the Portuguese pronunciation is a little bit different than how you would type it. All right, Marlo, let's hear about you and your trip to Belfast and what impressions you had and what you learned.
So I went to Northern Ireland in Belfast through VCU, through my college. So I found out about it because they presented the program through the Honors College. So I went with four other Honors students and an advisor from the Honors College. And so we were there for 3 weeks in Belfast working in youth centers with kids, so both with juniors, so elementary school level kids, and also teenagers. And so the point of us going there was to kind of learn about the religious and political conflict that's going on there. So the conflict exists between the Protestants and the Catholics, which are have associations politically. So the Protestants are considered the Unionists or the Loyalists who wish to remain part of the UK because Northern Ireland is considered its own country, independent from the rest of Ireland or the Republic of Ireland. And then the other side, the Catholics, are considered the Republicans or people who wish to be reunited with the rest of Ireland. So we were there learning about the conflict and seeing how we could connect the two sides through the younger generations, because a lot of the people there are very, they indoctrinate their children with the idea that the sides need to remain separate and one side is better than the other, depending on which family you're raised in and what side of the walls. So there are peace walls all throughout the town and through the city that separate different parts of the city, depending on the Catholics and the Protestants areas. So we were working in St. Peter's Youth Center, mostly, which is on the Catholic side of the wall. So some of the groups that we were working with were exclusively Catholic or Republican children. But there was one group that we also worked with briefly that contained members of both sides. So it was really interesting to learn about the history of the area and the conflict that exists there, and also being able to draw parallels between the conflict that exists there and some of the issues that we actually have in our own country. So it was a really enlightening and very rewarding experience to be part of and to learn about.
Yeah, you are lucky girls to get this perspective and kind of inspire some service with you and some global interaction, which is good. Nicole, do you have any specific stories you want to share of relationships, either with a special kid that stood out to you that you worked with, or even the relationships with the organizers of the trip or other people?
Most definitely. So I have two experiences with two different children. They were so cute. So it was all special needs children. And the thing in Bolivia is that they consider special needs children burdens to society, not part of society, not working to do anything. So the whole point of this school is to help teach them daily tasks so that they can continue like brushing their hair to making their bed and making their own food so that they can live on their own, because these people at all that volunteer there all realize that they are parts of society and they are very important.
They're human beings, right?
Exactly. And it's so sad to know that a lot of other people don't believe that. So they range from the ages of 3 to like 59. So there are a million different kinds of kids there. But there's this one, they took this little baby, she couldn't have been older than like 9 months old, and they put her on my lap because they just needed some help around. And I'm just sitting there with her, you know, just playing. And they gave me a cookie to feed to her. And they're like, oh my gosh, we can never get her to eat. And I got her to eat like the whole cookie. And it was just adorable because she's just staring at me and like playing with my hair. Aww. And she was wearing the cutest little pink dress. And it was just like, really, it put you in perspective, because for months, you know, they're telling us, you know, like these kids, like you're going to fall in love with them. And like, you're going to like love the experiences that you have. And it's really going to change you. And like, I have not had much experiences with special needs people in my life, just because I haven't had many in my family or my friends. But like that experience really showed me like, wow, like these, like, you're right, like they are real people that can like function in society, and they just want all the love that they can give you, and you want to give them all your love you can. And then there's this other time, they have like this big play area with a bunch of like little like jungle gymmy things, and there's this little boy, and he was kind of like sitting in the corner by himself, so I went with him, and he took my hand and pulled me over to the slide, and it had to be like for 20 minutes we sat there, and he was just going up and down the slide like with me, and I would catch him at the bottom and bring him back up. Or he would like play peekaboo with me and like hide. And all the other kids were like standing in a circle, like throwing a ball with my other classmates that went with me. But this boy like could not leave me alone. And he was just like, I want to go down the slide all this time. But like, of course, they all speak Spanish there. And the majority of our group did not speak Spanish. Okay. So it was actually truly amazing, because some of these kids realized that we didn't speak Spanish, and they would ask how to say things in English so they could talk to us. Aww. Like, it was truly amazing. Like, there were multiple people, like, she would hold my hands, and my hands are always really cold, and she'd be like, cold, fifth day. And I'd be like, you're so right. Like, see, yeah.
That
was all truly amazing. And also, like, with, like, you asked about the connections that I made with my group. So it was really funny, because last year, it's a 10-year program, and I'm in the second year. So the year before was completely my organization, Phi Beta Lambda. But then this past year, they brought in DSP, which is a service like organization, business, fraternity, and we're technically an organization because not enough people from my organization signed up.
Okay.
So there was a lot of drama, per se, in the beginning. Yeah. Between the groups, because we were like, oh, well, we have like a birthright to this group and you guys don't. You don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know the experiences that we're all going to have. And I feel like that was like it created a divide in our group and a lot of our progress that we were trying to make in the beginning of the semester. And then like the first day, like it took us 26 and a half hours to get there because there's no direct flight to Cochabamba, Bolivia, if anyone can guess that. But once like we like had that flight and we were at the highest elevation airport in the world in another part of Bolivia, and we were all basically like jet lagged, brain dead, you know, like laying there because you can't breathe going from Miami to there.
Oh.
So like that kind of like bonded us all together, and we were all like, wow, we're all actually great people and there's no reason for us to like not like any of each other. And it really brought us together as a group, and we were able to get so much more done with the group since it like was a class and we were getting a grade, but like obviously we weren't doing it for the grade. Half of the lectures that we got in the class were about how this is a service learning and not just community service. Like we're not just going there to do something, come back, and then never look at it again. It's a 10-year project that we all want to continue to be a part of. So it really like bonded us together as a group, and I now have friends that I never would have had because they were in a different organization, and now our organizations are also bonded through the group. So it was like truly amazing because I got to bond with people in a different culture that I have never had any influence from, never thought I'd ever go and see. And I also got bonded with another part of like my business school and like making the community like even more tight knit and like an even better place to like learn and work and like have friends.
That's incredible. Well, and you were talking about the special needs, and well, your Aunt Liz is a special needs guru, and she is a saint in my book, and she's worked with kids because that's the way it used to be in the U.S. If anybody was mentally out of it or physically unable to, they just sent them off to institutions where they obviously did not thrive. So your Aunt Liz has been a on the forefront of helping kids and integrating them into traditional, quote unquote, normal classrooms. And so you've got it in your blood, whether you like it or not. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to hear about Marlo's experience.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And And we're back. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, a show about service and nonprofits and foundations and donations and all kinds of good stuff. And today we have two lovely young women who have done service abroad with the international organization, easy for me to say, Azadji. And now we're going to hear about Marlo's experience in Belfast.
So I think you asked specifically about the relationships that
we
made there. So our first night in Ireland, we actually weren't in Belfast yet. We were in a town called Carlingford, which is right in between Dublin and Belfast. And so the program does trips called residentials, where they take some of the groups from the youth center and they stay over a weekend in a certain town. And so when we got there, we were really jet lagged, but we had to put our best foot forward and get on with this residential. And so it was really fun because we met the group. It was a group called 13 Guys. So there was 13 young men who were around the ages of, I think, 14 and 15. And so we did like this whole ropes course with them and did some other like activities and got to know them a little bit. And the first night there, after doing some icebreakers and some name games, we all sat in a circle, and one of the youth leaders that was there had everyone in the circle go around and answer some a series of questions. There were three questions. The first was, what hurts me? What's the saddest thing that's ever happened in my life? And how does this affect me? And so through this activity, beforehand, these boys were just, regular boys, goofing off and, being silly.
And smoking. You said everybody smokes over there, right?
Yeah, they smoke pretty early there. So learning about their lives and how they're impacted by the things that happen in their lives created a greater sense of depth and a greater understanding between all of us, not only between us Americans and the Irish boys, but also just between each other. And so, it gave me perspective to know what the kind of things that they were going through. That was the first night, and that was how we initially connected with them. And then also we had a driver, our driver, Ivan. He was kind of had a lot of roles throughout the course of our trip. He was kind of like our tour guide. He gave us a history lesson about the whole conflict. He drove us everywhere, and he was also a really great friend to us by the end of the trip. And so getting to know him as well as some of the other youth leaders at the youth center was it was great friendships and great relationships to make.
And he had an interesting perspective from kind of both sides of the conflict. Did you say that? Because, was he a Republican? I can't remember.
Well, he was raised Protestant.
Okay.
So he was of the loyalist mindset. But the youth center that we worked with was on the Catholic side, and that's where he worked. So he, even though he was raised Protestant, he doesn't really have a strong religious affiliation, and that's what the impression that I got, at least. So it was interesting to see his perspective and to learn about how the people's beliefs can vary, and it's more so a political conflict than it is a religious conflict. So
yeah, understandably so. Okay, and some of those boys, you said they were just normal boys hanging out, but then when you were sharing your stories, they'd seen some pretty heavy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Some of them, being a 14 or 15 year old boy, it's not necessarily a comfortable or easy thing to share about something so deep. Some of them were kind of brief when they were answering. But the impression that I got was that their family lives weren't very great, and so a lot of them, for the question that what hurts me, a lot of them answered seeing my family hurt. There were in the community that we worked with, there are a lot of drug problems, and so that's certainly another thing that affects the families. So it was interesting and interesting to see that, and also it was such a unique situation, because when else are you going to be in a circle with people who you've literally just met and learning something so meaningful about their lives? And so it was really, it was very raw and very, very, very
touching.
Yeah, touching, exactly.
Human.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned the walls in Belfast. So when you took the human geography course in high school, your professor was amazing, and he had talked to about the different walls. And of course, we got the Great Wall of China. You've got the DMZ wall between North and South Korea, which has been very much in the news lately. And then the Berlin Wall that everybody knows about that came down. And can you tell us a little bit about the peace walls in and around Oliver Belfast and the different paintings and sayings and things on those that you saw, and about the 7 o'clock curfew you said it was?
Mm-hmm. So, so the walls run all throughout the city, and they are adorned with these murals. And so depending on which side you're on, the murals will have different connotations. And so on the Catholic side, there are a lot of murals promoting the IRA, and also the Palestinian conflict has kind of a meaning, or a there's a strong tie to Ireland, and so because the conflicts are kind of similar. And so on the Republican side, there'll be there's murals advocating for the Palestinians, and on the other side, the Protestant side, there you know, is the opposite. But you can really tell immediately what side of the wall that you're on depending on the murals because of their connotations. And then another thing is that the gates still close every night. So at 7 p.m. every night, the gates close, and which makes it hard for one person to get from one side to the other after the gates have been closed off. So there was actually one night where we were at the youth center, and there were some of the boys or some of the youth workers or somebody who were doing work on the other side of the wall, and they were still on the other side when the gate closed. And because it was after 7 p.m., it wasn't a great time of the day, and so their safety was actually kind of in danger. And so I don't know exactly how they got them back, but they had to drive all around and to find a way to get to the other side and bring the people back to our side of the wall. So
yeah, incredible. Yeah, and Amazaji does programs. I think they took off in the 90s, I believe it said, because they started partnering with universities, which you're both evidence of, and high schools and different countries. And just a few of the countries they work in are Ghana, Tanzania, Poland, Jamaica, and then Puerto Rico. And then locally in the U.S., they have projects in New Orleans, the Navajo Nation, which is in Arizona, and Appalachia. So and in Poland, I found it was interesting. So the kids that go to Poland actually maintain the concentration camps for visitors to keep the memory alive. And wow. Yeah, I know, crazy. So just very, very heavy stuff, very informative stuff. You'd probably never really even heard of the IRA conflict before.
No,
you
actually, before traveling there, I didn't even really know that Northern Ireland was its own country. And so being there and learning about not only some of the basic things about the nature of the conflict, it was also really interesting to hear about mm-hmm. the whole history of everything.
Yeah. Right. And Nicole, can you share anything about the country of Bolivia, the people, the landscape, the food? I want to hear about the food.
Ooh, okay. So the food was amazing, first of all, but it cannot sit well in your stomach because you're just not used to it, because it's a different water type. So what was amazing about our trip is that we had two younger people. They were around our age, like 17 and 18, Natsi and Adri. I'd like to say hi if you guys haven't been seeing this. I follow you on Facebook. They were amazing, showing us about like the younger culture and like what it's like growing up in Cochabamba, Bolivia, since it is such a different place from like the United States. So like it was really crazy because before we went, they're like, "All right, you can't call yourself Americans because they're also Americans because you're just in South America. So you have to say you're from the United States." So like it was really funny, like having to like think and like correct yourself about it. But what's going on a lot right now in Bolivia has a lot to do with the current president, because he has been making so many cuts to like all these different funded things, service-wise and other things like that, and the only money that these people get, like Scioli, are from trips like mine, like going there and seeing them. So what's going on is that he's only supposed to be in there for 2 terms, like that's the limit, and he's already been in there for 3 and he's going for 4.
Sounds corrupt to me.
Yeah, it sounds very much like something else we know. So it's just, it's very like hard to see that, and the thing is they want to get him out, but there's like no better options other than him, so they just keep electing him in. And they're also going through, and they have like these beautiful forest preservations and stuff, and he wants to like put a highway right through it. And it's just like, it's really hard because like all, there's a lot of graffiti because graffiti isn't illegal there. Like you can actually ask someone on a private property if you, if they can graffiti on it. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. So like, not illegal anywhere. So you'll see a lot of political stuff. Like you'll see a lot of like stuff about like the president and other things like that in the country. So it's really crazy. And it is like, I remember you saying like very dangerous at night. And like every single house that you pass, whether it's big or small, poor or rich, they have some kind of like fence or wall up around their house, like in any kind of store, anything like that. Like when you're walking through, like they have a lot of open air markets. We went to one of the, we went to the largest open air market, like in the Americas, I think. It was really awesome. They have a bunch of different sections, but like you have to watch who you brush up next to. Like it's pretty crazy. And, like they do have like some kind of presence. Like I'm pretty sure like the majority of them are Catholic, but like you really got to watch where you're going because there is a lot of like trafficking in Bolivia. Like a big thing. We also visited a like a animal sanctuary, and there's so much bird trafficking like through Bolivia. Like you wouldn't think they travel like through Peru, and it's like apparently easier to get through Bolivia. And, like, they had, like, these beautiful exotic birds that, like, shouldn't have been in Bolivia. Hmm. But they were because of the trafficking that goes through.
Wow.
And it's very hard to get through there because it is in the Andes. But it was just, like, amazing to see, like, how much trafficking there was. And, like, we were very lucky because we stayed in a very nice hostel. And, like, we had a driver as well. His name was Rolando. He was awesome. And there was like Rolando and like another one, and they were all had the same name. So they all mixed up in my mind. But, like we were very like fortunate to have like multiple guides with us. Like one would stand in the front, one would be in the back, and like a few in the middle. And like, it was very hard, like, especially like not speaking Spanish. Like I could pretty much count to 30 and that's about it. So like it was really crazy to see. And like, there's a lot of, like, I don't want to say, like, poverty, but, like, a lot, like, of poor people, they have, like, a poorer lifestyle for the most part, not all of them, obviously, but the exchange rate was insane. It was 7 bolivianos is one U.S. dollar, so you'd see something, it'd be 24 bolivianos, and you're like, wait, that's only, like, $5, like, that's crazy. So it was just, like, really crazy to see, like, the difference in, like, the community, because they all, like, love Bolivia, and they want to stay there, because, like, they love the culture and their people, but they can't, because there's not much work there, there isn't much that they can do, so it's, like, it's really sad to see, because we also met with a woman who was a fashionista. She opened her own fashion shop, but she couldn't do it in Bolivia, because like there was no market there, so she had to move to Peru, and it like ruined her heart. Like she loved Bolivia so much, so she didn't end up opening her own shop in Bolivia. But like there is nothing like that in Bolivia, like no kind of market for like anything, at least not in Cochabamba where we were. So like I can't really speak for, because it's really regionalized, like all the regions like have like these kind of like vendettas out for each other. It's like they have alliances with other ones, and like they don't like other ones. So
almost like a tribal.
Yeah, very much so. And it's definitely because of the separation from them. So like there's Santa Cruz, and that's like the capital, like it's like a bigger city. And then like Cochabamba is like in the middle, like the middle of the Andes. Like the runway was like as long as the city is when we were getting off the plane. And then like there's like a bunch of other, and they're all separated, and they probably didn't have a lot of communication until very recently with modern technologies. So it was definitely a very different atmosphere. Although I felt safe the entire time, and we got to try all these amazing foods. Like you said, they had the chimoya, which was like this, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a candied apple, but it's no fruit that you ever had here, and you can't get it in the United States. But like it was like an amazing fruit that we got to try, and like a bunch of like they had a lot of like meat, and like just the way that they did their vegetables was just like amazing. Like,
do they steam them or fry them or?
I think they do a lot of like, I want to say like grilling. Mm-hmm. Which I mean makes sense because like it's a very like open area, but we were there technically during their winter.
Okay.
So, like, everyone thought it was really cold, but we're coming from Pittsburgh, where you guys, if anyone remembers during March, like, it was probably the worst snow we've ever seen in our lives. So my mom's, like, out of power, and I'm like, hey, it's 70 degrees where I am, but they think it's cold. So, like, everyone's wearing, like, parkas and jeans, and this one guy was like, aren't you cold? And I'm like, you kidding? This is nice. Like, this is the best weather I've seen all day. So yeah, I think it like depends on like their weather. So they were having like a lot of like hot drinks and like other stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the first night I had like these shish kebabs and they were like the best things I've ever had. It was awesome. And their plates were huge too. Like they're meant to share with people. Like you go out with your family and you share a plate of food.
Like communal dining.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it was really cool. It was awesome.
Well, I've read different articles about volunteerism and different things, and one of the criticisms that has been made about, I mean, there's so many organizations, everybody's a little different, but they were, and they were saying how sometimes, you know, a group of kids will go to a remote village, but they bring all their Clif Bars and they go paint the school during the day or whatever, and then they go back to their own barracks and hang with their own people and eat their own food, and it's not a very interactive type experience, and because it's a big sacrifice for these people to invite all these foreigners in, even though the intent is to help. But they're saying, some of the articles said that if the Americans, the USA Americans, would just donate all the money that went into the plane fare and the you know all the fees that go along with putting together this kind of trip, if they had just donated that to the village instead of flying all these idiot Americans there to help, it would have tremendously helped the village. And so that was just one viewpoint or editorial commentary of it. But how about you, Marla? Would you say that was not the case with yours, or do you feel like Amazaji does a pretty good job of integrating the volunteers with the locals?
Even though we did do service and we did work a lot with the kids, more of our purpose there was kind of just to learn about the conflict, and the pressure wasn't on us to perform all of the service because that's what the youth workers, the people employed there, are kind of for. So we were just there more to help out and to learn. Mm-hmm. I think volunteerism is more often associated with projects in third world countries.
Okay.
So being in a first world country, I don't think we had the same interaction with that kind of issue.
Yeah, but you, like you said, your generation has never even really heard about this conflict because you were born pretty much when mm-hmm. it was over. Mm-hmm. So, but there's still contention there, obviously.
Oh, yes.
So that I find that interesting. And I know Marla did some sightseeing when she was there. Did you do some sightseeing in Bolivia?
Yeah, I did actually. So we like I said, we went to the animal sanctuary.
Oh, yeah.
But we also, they have like a Christ statue that is very similar to the one in Rio. It's okay. Just a little bit smaller. So we got to go, we saw that the first day we were there, and it was amazing. It was like, you saw it at almost every point in the city. So like, it was really cool. Cause like you go up this giant hill and you're like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And then you get to the top and you're like, oh my gosh, wow. It's a giant Jesus. So it was pretty cool. It was one of our first experiences. And since you're up on the top of a hill in the middle of the city, you just have this beautiful backdrop of the Andes behind you. So that was like one of the coolest sightseeing that I thought we did. But I mean, like just walking around the city like was an amazing sightseeing thing. We also went to the open air market that I mentioned before, which is pretty cool. But Dean Morrell will probably hate me if I don't mention anything about the service learning, because every single class that we had to read a new article about the comparison between service learning and like volunteerism.
Okay.
So like, smart. You know, going in with like your Clif Bars and like going and like building a well and then leaving. But mm-hmm. the community didn't want a well. Like they didn't need it, or like, you know, you think it's going to be this great improvement, but like it has a whole impact on the community. So like we learned so much about, you know, how we are not just going in as those fruity Americans or United States Americans. And you know, like pouring in all of our knowledge because we're so smart and we know everything, and like giving them all of our beautiful brains and whatever, and then leaving, and then they don't even know what to do because they just don't understand everything, which is incredibly not true.
It's naive, right?
Yeah, very naive. Like,
well, and they say that a lot of times the recipients of the help, they're just too humble and too gracious that they don't want to say, no, okay, if people want to come help, we're going to allow them to come help, but they they're not really helping. They're, it's more for the benefit of the Americans just wanting to put something on their resume. So I'm glad that there's a shift because, you know, I'm a Room to Read fanatic. And the part of the reason that I love that organization so much is that 20 years ago when it started, John Wood said, I'm not going to send a bunch of Americans to boss foreigners around. Everybody that's going to lead the country and lead the service and lead the program in that country is going to be native of that country that speaks the language, knows the cultures, knows the nuances of how people react and interact. And it makes an entirely big difference when you're approaching it from that aspect. And Marla, you had some fun trips. Tell us about a couple of things you saw on your fun days and what you did.
Yeah, so we were largely in Belfast for the majority of the trip, but like I mentioned, we were in Carlingford for one night, which was a really small village. So that was really interesting to like see that, and it was very cute there. So then after Carlingford, we traveled to Belfast. We were there for about a week before we went to the Antrim coast, which is about an hour north of Belfast. So we were right on the ocean, and we got to see a bunch of locations where Game of Thrones is filmed, which was really cool. So yeah, we were at Ballintoy Harbor and Dark Hedges, and there was this rope bridge that we walked across. Another of the locations is Giant's Causeway, which is this really interesting rock formation right on the water.
Wow.
So it's like kind of like a bunch of steps, but it's like a natural formation in the rock.
Steps for giants.
we had a really fun time doing that. The Titanic Museum is in Belfast, which is apparently a really big tourist attraction, like one of the biggest in Europe, actually. So we were able to go there, and that was a really cool experience as well.
Great. And I forgot what I was going to say. But the other thing we need to mention, since we're talking about Catholicism, is that the Pope is going to visit Ireland this summer in August. He's going to Dublin, and I think he's going to Knock, which is another city that has just redone this incredible center for Catholicism or something. But so just for those folks to know, if you're planning a trip to Ireland, either you want to go see the Pope, that's an opportunity, or like me, I'd be like, I'd just stay away because I just don't like the big crowds. So, but that's exciting that the Pope's going to go. And obviously, I think, we saw in the news there are people that are upset because they wanted him to go to Northern Ireland as part of his trip. So he's just going to Ireland, not Northern Ireland, but they said it's because he's aging. He can't really work that into his trip. So whether that's a political spin, I don't know. But, I mean, he's obviously doing what he can. And so look out for that trip. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back with Nicole and Marlo talking about their recent service trips abroad with the international organization AMIZADE, AMIZADE.org. Okay, there we go. All right, well, we're going to spend these last 15 minutes talking about why you might recommend others to do this, whether they look up AMIZADE or another service organization or get involved in their community with service and go.
Yeah, so I obviously definitely recommend doing any kind of service that you can, but not just like doing like community service, which is like obviously great. It mm-hmm. is an amazing thing to do because your community is where you live. But going out and like I remember like over spring break where I was in Bolivia, my roommate went to D.C. Mm-hmm. and she did like work in D.C. with like, you know, like youth programs and other things like that. So it's I feel like service is just such an important thing that shows like your love for your community, but also just like other people. Like it's not just about like you and the people you hang out with, but you know, you care about other people as well. And it's not just about going to a community and building a well. It's about like you said, learning about a culture, immersing yourself and knowing that people are people, but a culture can create so many differences that you never even thought were possible. Like, even if two people are like raised by the same person, if they're like immersed in different types of like organizations and cultures and just in a different environment, like they'll be different people. And it's just crazy how that can happen, like just because of, you know, being separated by a little bit of water, you know, a few thousand miles on land. So like definitely like international experiences, if you have the opportunity, I say go for it. But, you know, don't just go somewhere, build a house and leave. You know, mm-hmm. like I would say go somewhere, learn about the culture, immerse yourself. Like I know like Marlo did so much learning when she was in Ireland, stuff that like I didn't even know, like you didn't know. And I bet you a lot of people don't know. And like when I was in Bolivia, it was something like we have like a lot of like Irish Americans like in America and you learn so much like, and then you go to a culture like Bolivia or like somewhere like in like Africa and there's like very little influence from those cultures there. So you can learn so much. So just kind of having the open eyes about seeing what is going on in your world and that you're not the only one there and there's so much more going on around you. But like as well as like service at home, like when I was in high school I did a mini-thon. Like it's kind of in partner with Penn State's thon that they do. They do 46 hours of dancing for raising money for childhood cancer research. And my high school was the first in Pennsylvania to do a 24-hour mini-thon. And now a few schools have joined us in the idea. And it was such an amazing opportunity because it put you through like a small amount of pain. And almost every single person has been affected by cancer in some way. Like I know like our family has been very heavily affected by cancer. My dad had cancer, and I know a lot of my friends have like aunts or family members or anyone that has had cancer. So like it's not just about service and like helping people less fortunate than you. It's just about like helping anyone, because we've all been through bad situations. We've all been through it. So those of us that can help and take the opportunities that we can, I think it's just our duty as human beings to help others.
Amen to that. You could run the show. be the guest host. Well, no, it gives you perspective.
So much perspective.
It shows compassion. And I think people are just so closed-minded sometimes. So you just need to get out of your comfort zone and have some growth. And, well, I always like to say, because it's great to help your community because that's where you live and that's where you are. And it's great, but it's also good to – we're all human beings on the same planet. And mm-hmm. it's good to help other human beings. Like I like to say, as the scripture goes, it doesn't say do unto others within the tri-state area. As you, you know, I mean, but I always – say philanthropy is personal, so whatever means the most to you, whether it's been affected by a disease that relate yeah. that you relate to, or any kind of whether you love animals, you want to help the animals, whether you love the environment and you want to help that, there's a gazillion organizations out there today that you can get involved with, a group doing something positive in the world to help either the earth itself or the people on the earth, yeah, or the other plants and bugs and animals on the earth. So there are so many options, and you just have to find the one that's the right fit for you and get involved. And I always say that it's, you're trying to help the people or whatever you're trying to help, the rewards that you get out of helping others outweigh the, what you're giving.
Yes,
so, and there's statistics somewhere to back that up. So, okay. All right, Marlo, would you recommend others sign up for Amazaji and why?
Definitely. I think that traveling and doing service abroad specifically is really important because of the global perspective that it gives you. So I know for me, being in Belfast and learning about the conflict there, I was able to draw a lot of parallels between them and the U.S. So knowing that there are some conflicts and some issues that are universal and that can exist anywhere, that was really eye-opening for me. So, from that perspective, I think it's really important. And also, I actually I did my Girl Scout Gold Award, which was an 80-hour service project. So, in addition to like going abroad with this trip, I think it's really beneficial to be able to do service in your community and be able to connect with the people there, and just to promote a greater sense of compassion in yourself and like a. My mom just said.
Well, you learn things about yourself as well, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. The internal impact is crazy. Like, you never thought that you'd be changed this way before.
Yeah, I think it was good too because my group, we were originally supposed to stay in a hotel, but the hotel closed down, so we ended up.
Oops.
So we actually stayed all together in a house in like the suburbs of Belfast. So. Being together all the time and like having downtime together after service, it provided a perfect atmosphere to be able to reflect together, yeah, on a lot of things that we were doing. And I think conversation about all of the service and the impact that we had there was really beneficial to be able to hear other people's perspectives within the group and to learn from others as well as to learn from the service and from yourself. So.
Right, and you bonded with the folks from VCU as well, and then like you said, you bonded with those. You almost created a new conflict, but then you resolved it quickly, which was good through jet lag. So you never know. No, but I mean, again, you learn about interacting with people. You learn more about yourself. So what was the most introspective or shocking thing you kind of learned about yourself, if you can put it into words?
I think it's like how much impact someone else can have on your life just by like seeing what they've been through. Like you said, a lot of the boys that you dealt with had been through a lot, and a lot of these kids had been through a lot. I mean, basically being rejected by their families. So like seeing just like someone's strength and how much strength it can give you, like going beyond. It's like, wow, like they have been through so much, and yet here they are smiling away, you know, like loving their life. Like, I should be like them, you know? It's just crazy to see like the impact that you can have on these people, and they're so grateful. They are like, we just like love, we're so thankful for having you here, and we love everything that you're doing, and we're so happy that we can meet you. And like, because like the culture is so different, you know, family oriented, you know, so it's like crazy. Like I feel like we are a big family. I mean, like, you guys are my second cousins, and yet here we are like as best friends. So but like a lot of other people don't have that, whereas in like Cochabamba, Bolivia, it's all family oriented. So they wanted to meet us before we started getting somewhere, you know, so we're still in the foundational phases of our project.
Family first.
Yes, it was amazing. And like, to shout out Pittsburgh, Mr. Rogers, it's like, will you be my neighbor too? I feel like,
oh, is he from Pittsburgh?
He is. The show is made in Pittsburgh. So shout out to Pittsburgh. But like, honestly, it's like, you don't have to be physical neighbors to be a neighbor to someone.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers has been in the news a lot lately. I don't know if he died a few years ago.
Yeah, they're making a documentary about him.
Oh, and I bought Mr. Rogers stamps. He has a stamp.
Yep, that's probably it too.
I know, right? Oh, so I wondered what caught, okay, so that's probably what sparked it, but I didn't know it was, well, and everyone's saying we need to go back to the basic values of, you know, human kindness, and, you know, there's a lot of strife in the world, and even in Ireland, you know, we were talking to this guy who, you know, Ireland's a very happy place, and everyone's very happy, but he was saying, you know, some of these tourists are just, outrageous with how self-centered they are, you know? And so, I mean, we weren't surprised. So, you know, and you being in these other countries with these other people, you realize there is some truth to the spoiled American brat, like, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we have it good here, and we, and there's another religious saying, to those who much has been given, much is expected. So it's all on you guys. No, all right. So we've only got a few minutes left. Are there any parting words, Marla? What did you learn about yourself? Or
I think I've always kind of known that I've always been really interested in other cultures, especially international cultures. So I think it was really interesting for me, especially because my trip was a cultural immersion trip, to be able to learn so much about the people there and to be really immersed in the history and the nature of the conflict in the town. And so that I really valued that a lot.
And are you doing a semester abroad, Nicole, somewhere? Or yet, do you know?
I am, yeah. So, well, I haven't technically applied for it yet. The application is in October, but I plan on studying abroad in London for a semester.
Nice.
I'll also be doing an internship while I'm there. So it's an amazing, another opportunity to completely immerse yourself in a culture, which is exactly what I wanted to do. But I'm not really good at speaking other languages, so I picked London.
Good for you.
So I'm super excited, because now that you mentioned where you went, I'm probably going to go there now, just because it sounds like such an amazing place to see. And, you know, like, you never know, like, what's going on in the community unless you, like, you immerse yourself in it. So that's truly amazing. And also, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Amazaji for making this opportunity available to any students that go. Like, I know, like, Pitt students and, like, VCU students and any other students that they are in joining,
have partnerships.
Yeah,
with,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so you've also had a unique perspective, because you've been to the corporate offices of Amazaji in Pittsburgh.
I have. So it's located in Lawrenceville, which is maybe like 15 minutes away from my campus. So it was amazing. We got to meet Sarah and Bridget. Yeah, they came. So we had a final presentation, since it was a class and we were doing it like in like with business school. So it was basically like we were working for a client and Amazaji was our client. So yeah, we worked directly like with them. We were emailing Sarah and like meeting with her, and it was really cool to see their headquarters, how they're organized, and like the whole card system. Like I said, they do sell cards. Everyone should go buy one. They're really pretty. And so like it really helped us like figure out what we needed to do with our project.
Yeah, that's great. And Marla, we didn't talk about it much, but you had some incredible speakers at your trip too.
We did. Yeah, there was. We got to hear both sides of the story. So we had some loyalist and some Republican speakers that came to talk to our group, and so it was really interesting to hear more about the conflict and their specific experiences, and to have a greater perspective or a more holistic perspective on the conflict.
Amazing. And well, I just want to congratulate you too, because you're giving a new positive connotation to the millennial generation. I know you're on the tail end of it, but you know, I mean, service is worthwhile and service is commendable at any age. So I think you guys are on the right track to save the world.
And you always have something to give. I mean, even if it's like, if you don't have much money or anything, your time is always so valuable to other people.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it was so fun. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is back in Washington after his historic summit in Singapore with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un. And shortly after Air Force One touched down at about 6 a.m. Eastern Time, the president tweeted, quote, "Just landed, a long trip, but everyone can now feel much safer than the day I took office." The president adding in the tweet, "There is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea." Some disagree with that estimate. estimation.
This is the weakest that has been included in any recent document that has emerged from North Korea and the United States.
Senate Democrat Chris Murphy of Connecticut saying on MSNBC the agreement the two leaders signed on nuclear disarmament broke no new ground. The FIFA Congress has just voted that the U.S., Canada, and Mexico will share in the hosting of the 2026 World Cup. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay.
Hey!
So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40...
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Close your business and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
A large chunk of Americans aren't too sure a flu shot is the best way to combat the flu. While the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the best way to prevent the flu is with vaccination, nearly a third of Americans asked in a Harris poll say they didn't think it would help at all. Just 43%